Good afternoon.
Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Angelo. When I was 3 and Bailey 4, we had arrived in the musty little town wearing tags on our wristwatch, our wrists, which instructed to whom it may concern that we were Marguerite and Bailey Johnson Jr. from Long Beach, California, en route to Stamps, Arkansas, care of Miss Annie Henderson. Our parents had decided to put an end to their calamitous marriage, and father shipped us home to his mother. A porter had been charged with our welfare. He got off the train the next day in Arizona, and our tickets were pinned to my brother's inside coat pocket. I don't remember much of the trip, but after we reached the segregated southern part of the journey, things must have looked up. Negro passengers who always traveled with loaded lunch boxes felt sorry for the poor little motherless darlings and plied us with cold fried chicken and potato salad. Years later, I discovered that the United States had been crossed thousands of times by frightened black children traveling alone to their newly affluent parents in northern cities or back to grandmothers in southern towns when the urban north reneged on its economic promises. The town reacted to us as its inhabitants had reacted to all things new before our coming. It regarded us a while without curiosity, but with caution. And after we were seen to be harmless and children, it closed in around us as a real mother embraces a stranger's child, warmly, but not too familiarly. We lived with our grandmother and uncle in the rear of the store. It was always spoken of with a capital S, which she had owned some 25 years. Early in the century, Mama, we soon stopped calling her grandmother, sold lunches to the sawmen in the lumberyard, East Stamps, and the seedmen at the cotton gin, West Stamps. Her crisp meat pies and cool lemonade, when joined to her miraculous ability to be in two places at the same time, assured her business success. From being a mobile lunch counter, she set up a stand between the two points of fiscal interest and supplied the workers' needs for a few years. Then she had the store built in the heart of the Negro area. Over the years, it became the lay center of activities in town. On Saturdays, barbers sat their customers in the shade of the porch of the store, and troubadours, on their ceaseless crawlings, through the South, leaned across its benches and sang their sad songs of the Brazos while they played juice harps and cigar box guitars. The formal name of the store was the William Johnson General Merchandise Store. Customers could find food stamps, a good variety of colored thread, mash for hogs, corn for chickens, coal oil for lamps, and light bulbs for the wealthy, shoestrings, hairdressing, balloons, and flower seeds. Anything not visible had only to be ordered. Until we became familiar enough to belong to the store and it to us, we were locked up in a fun house of things where the attendant had gone home for life. Each year, I watched the field across from the store turn caterpillar green, then gradually frosty white. I knew exactly how long it would be before the big wagons would pull into the front yard and load on the cotton pickers at daylight to carry them to the remains of slavery's plantations. During the picking season, my grandmother would get out of bed at 4 o'clock. She never used an alarm clock, and creak down to her knees and chant in a sleep-filled voice, "Our Father, thank you for letting me see this new day. Thank you that you didn't allow the bed I lay on last night to be my cooling board, nor my blanket, my winding sheet. Guide my feet this day along the straight and narrow, and help me to put a bridle on my tongue. Bless this house and everybody in it. Thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen."